We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cite these hymns. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Ironically, Brian Mitchell was in Florida all weekend and flew home last night, and I flew to Florida last night, and I'm here now in Orlando at the NFL annual meeting. Good morning, B. What's going on?
What up, brother? I'm chilling, man.
How was your weekend down here? How was the that was a heavy hitter lineup. I saw you were giving a speech to some kids with Mike Vick and Devin Hester.
Yeah, that was fun, man. I enjoyed that. And then I expected the little young man, little Bryce Mitchell, Matias, to come into the world. And he's like, nah, I'm going to hang out with my mom for a little bit.
So you like to be punctual and early. This boy seems like he's more on my time. He's kind of running late.
He is taking his good old time. I say, Bria, what the hell? He's like, Dad, seems like he's comfortable.
Bria posted some pictures over the weekend, and I just sent her a little note on Instagram just like, hey, good luck, you know, over the next couple of days. She's like, yeah, we're ready. she seems ready.
Hey, she's ready. Hey, room ready, car's ready, all the bags in the car, they're ready to go, but only one participant that's not ready.
I'll never forget. I should tell Deshaun. Yeah, I mean, he's the one that gets – to decide the show right now.
Oh, yeah. He's hey, listen, man. And she looks so, you know, Bria.
Little B-man.
She's short. And she's, right. She looks so cute, little stomach sticking out.
That's funny, man.
It's funny, man.
I remember when we had my first daughter, when we had Shelby, I've never in my life driven as slowly home on the Beltway because we had her at Holy Cross. We were living in Kensington at the time. And it's like, I think it's just one Beltway exit from Georgia to Connecticut. And I was going like 35 in the far right lane, just terrified of what could happen. Those moments are so crazy, man. I'm so excited for them.
They're crazy, but I'll tell you what you look at. So I think like that, too, when it comes down to babies. You want to be so gentle.
Right.
But all you have to do is look at how the nurses handle.
Yep.
The nurses act like, well, ain't no problem. I mean, I'm like, the first time, I'm serious, when Bria was born.
Flinging them around.
Oh, I'd almost lay some hands on one of the nurses. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what do you mean? They're fine. I'm like, no. You're a little rough.
Dude.
But that's how they are, man.
Yeah. I mean, I remember just the difference in my first daughter to having another daughter, and you realize, like, you're just so much more aware of how you know what I mean? Like, not every sneeze, you don't have to call the doctor.
It takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off. But, you know, let's go back to that event I was at, Jay, and it was 103 flag football teams, 707 teams there.
And 100 of them?
103.
Wow. And what ages?
Oh, they're from like 9U, 10, 9U, all the way down to 18.
Wow.
All the way up to 18. But it was so cool when you sit there and you find out the current and former players that are still involved. I know, who was it? Lamar Jackson had two teams there. He couldn't make it there, but his mom and his sister were there, I think it was. Cam Newton had his team there. Chad Pennington had his team there. Devin Hester had his team there. Michael Vick had a team there. I mean, it was something sweet. And then, like, they're just sitting there at that event. And I saw a bunch of guys that are playing right now. Young man, Rashad White, I think his name. Yeah, played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, the running back.
Yeah, he was there coaching. Big George Hageman used to play with Dallas. George is like a mountain dog. George looked like he's about 6'8", 6'9". About 395, 400.
And that's a big fella.
But they had a big man camp. They had a girls clinic. They had special teams sessions as well. But it's like a 7-on-7 thing, and I'm telling you, man, NFLPA does it with people down there. They call it the Sandlot 7-on-7. But it was, I loved it, you know. And yeah, we saw the thing with Cam at that event. It was some drama. It was no drama at this one. It was well run, and I was impressed by it. But just seeing all the guys that have gone through this thing reaching back to help the young dudes out and young ladies, it was cool.
Well, dude, it's funny you're talking about the 7-on-7 and just how popular it is because – so I'm down here at NFL Annual Meetings. This event used to be called the NFL Owners Meetings. They've changed it now to the NFL Annual Meeting. But what happens is owners of all 32 teams, GMs of all 32 teams, head coaches of all 32 teams, at least those three and often a few others, and then, you know, staffers and PR folks and stuff, mm-hmm. but from all over the league come together. This is where they vote on rules changes, and I think, frankly, we're going to get two rules changes passed here in the next tomorrow, where this hip drop tackle thing as well as the kickoff rules are going to change. We'll get to all that. But what you also get are these coaches' breakfasts. And so this morning, the AFC coaches all gathered in this, like, ballroom at this Marriott, and you could just sit down and talk to any of them. And
I see you talked to one of my friends.
I did talk to Andy. He had enough people there that I didn't – I always go up to him and thank him for coming on the show, and his PR person I always thank. I'm going to do that tonight at this dinner. But
I love this
really
answer, though, that you posted.
Well, B, before we get to that, did you see that he was also asked about 7-on-7 and AAU and, like, kind of how prolific that's become? And basically, I think when you look at football and flag football and 7-on-7 particularly, and so everybody understands, maybe if you listen to our show, you probably know what 7-on-7 is, but it's basically touch football with no offensive line, more or less, right? And so it's all going to be passing because you're not going to run the ball in that kind of situation. And basically what Andy said is that has allowed the development of quarterbacks and wide receivers to grow significantly. But at the same time, it's kind of hindered the ability of – Sean Payton said this. He's like, we've never had more data and stuff to look at with quarterbacks, and we've never been more clueless about – who can play inside linebacker in the NFL.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys out there, and they said that a lot of the scouts and stuff, they are concerned about the quarterbacking because they have no rush coming at them in the 7-on-7. And what I noticed at this one, there was a stopwatch, and that thing rung. If you didn't throw the ball in a certain amount of time, you'd consider a sack.
Oh, okay,
and
that's good.
And I actually like that because you can't get back there and just sit there all damn day. But you can see where it helps the receivers and the DBs. But the linebackers, I think you need to have linebackers. And I think you need to come up with one and call it basically 8-on-8 or 9-on-9 and bring a linebacker or two and some running backs into it to where you can enhance them as well because the running backs are used in the passing game as much.
Well, you know, what's interesting, I mean, to your point is – 7-on-7 has become the really popular thing for kids of all ages, right? But NFL teams, at least, I don't know if college teams do this as well, 9-on-9 is a pretty popular way to scrimmage where you just set up – you basically just set up a strong side and leave the
it's
other two linemen
off. It's more running, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's how you do your run game install.
They leave
a
lot of the passing out of it. But I think if you can incorporate some level of passing in that, with the 9-on-9, you can now see some level of the pass rush, you know, and things of that nature. But then again, you know, you get two guys going against each other. It's kind of hard to make one guy chill because the other guy is going to be losing his damn mind. But I actually like it because since it's going, the leagues are all going so much passing, it gives them like a jump on a lot of stuff. Because so I watched some damn pass plays. It was Chaz's team against Cam's team, and I think they were both trying to outdo each other on the pass plays.
Because
they were running some damn routes. I'm like, that is not going to be able to be ran in a real game.
That's funny. So there was, speaking about the pass game and the need for quarterbacks and all that, I mean, that was I was having this discussion with Kerwin and with Diana Rossini. The owners' meeting last year was significantly different on 100 different levels, but by far the two dominant stories were everything going on with Dan and then Lamar Jackson. If you remember, it was – I mean, I remember it because I watched it unfold because I was doing the show live during the breakfast then because we were on the West Coast, so the, everything was earlier. And I watched as John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens, walked into the conference room to have breakfast, and he sat down, and then I saw where Josina Anderson was, and she walked over to the Ravens table, and I literally watched her get her phone out. Obviously, she acquired some information somehow, and then tweeted out that Lamar Jackson was requesting a trade. Like, in that moment. And then asked Harbaugh about it. And that just, I mean, if you remember that moment, it was massive around the NFL.
Yeah.
And so you had these two huge storylines last year at the owners' meetings where you had whatever's going on with the Commanders and then Lamar. And we were talking about it, Brian, the storyline this year, neither compared to that because those were just seismic moments, right? But the storyline this year, I think, is these rookie quarterbacks – where they go in the draft, what happens with J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, University of Michigan had their pro day on Friday, and John Harbaugh, I just stood there and listened to him say it, or Jim Harbaugh, rather, said he thinks it's the best pro day he's ever seen. And he's saying that he's got GMs all over the league, unsolicited, reaching out to him about McCarthy, about what a player he is, what a person he is, about the arm he's got, all these things. I think everybody here kind of agrees that Caleb to Chicago is a foregone conclusion. It seems like there's really a consensus building that Jaden to Washington at number two is happening. But you can feel the way people are talking about this quarterback class and that Washington will at least listen to calls, and
yeah.
New England's coach yesterday said, yeah, we'll listen at number three, and then it's very clear that four and five are available if somebody wants to move up, you know, between Arizona and the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And the story to me seems to be this rookie quarterback class and the desperation that a lot of these teams feel to go get one.
Yeah, I read a story this morning that talked about you know, the need and the search for a franchise quarterback is going to make a lot more quarterbacks go than people were expecting and go early. So we're going to see how that happens. And I think what you have to understand sometimes you have to go out there and reach and have a stretch. And you better make sure that you have a good enough team to help them, because the big thing is popping up. I was watching the crew on ESPN this morning. They're talking about, is Chicago the best team for a young guy to prosper? Well, I think any team that picks a damn young quarterback, you better be in position to make it happen, because I think we're getting to the days, and I know for sure on my part, I'm not blaming the quarterbacks all the time anymore. You got to have a coach and a front office guy who will put the people around them so they're going to be able to help, because one guy's not going to walk in here and completely change this thing if they don't have anything around them.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I don't think anybody disagrees with that, and I think you're seeing that more and more. I mean, even like for Bears fans that are bummed out to lose Fields, you know what I mean? Like, you have the number one pick. You're about to take this kid that just won a Heisman Trophy 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's still people that are like, man, Justin could play, just the situation sucked. I think more and more people are cognizant of the situation surrounding the quarterback being of vital importance. Got to talk with Antonio Pierce for a little bit today, and he's an interesting dude. You know that he was on the Arizona State staff and recruited Jaden Daniels?
Oh, really?
I knew he was on the staff, but I didn't know his level of personal involvement. You're going to hear that in just a minute. We got the audio from our conversation. We'll play that at 10:30. But before we I mean, be especially when it comes to football, right? You and I get deep. We get into the nitty-gritty. It's what we both love. I just, before we get into that, and we need to do that, I want us all, if we can, to take a step back. And I'm going to describe it from a boots-on-the-ground perspective. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think everyone that listens to our show and, you know, imbibes our content in whatever capacity is probably, at this point, a Commanders fan. A Redskin fan, a Washington fan. Burgundy and gold matters to them, right?
Yeah.
And it is so night and day different being here without the looming tower of Dan Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
You don't have all the people coming up to you asking you, hey, man, what's going on there? Those type of questions, right?
B, especially, I mean, yes, 100%.
They're now, enthusiastic about what's going on.
B, over the last 2 years, particularly at these owners' meetings, it was like, listen, I've never done like a stakeout. Like, I've never, you know, I'm not a police officer, but it was like a stakeout. Like, we all were like looking around every corner to see if we could actually see Dan or actually see Tanya. And it honestly was probably a little unfair to Tanya that she got kind of thrown into that because Dan just stopped coming to everything.
But, yeah, you're guilty by association sometimes.
Dude, and anytime somebody would talk, think about Irsay in New York when he like kind of threw the gauntlet down that, yo, yeah, we might try to get rid of this dude. And then, like, every time the guys that always talk, Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, like, we'd have to run over there, and you have all these Boston reporters that just want to talk about Brady and Belichick, and then we're just throwing this haymaker from the back. Like, are you going to get rid of Dan Snyder? Like, all of that is so different now, and it's so refreshing. And it
you
really,
think it's refreshing
think,
for you? How about those damn owners and GMs? It's refreshing
dude,
for them, too.
And Goodell.
Yes.
Dude, Goodell's going to give his press conference tomorrow afternoon, and he's not going to get asked about congressional investigations or hearings or controversies or any of that, right? Yeah. Like, he's going to get asked football questions, and I'm sure there'll be some stuff thrown at Roger. I'm sure there's stuff from other markets that we're not, you know, paying as much attention to anymore. But it is – like, I saw Josh Harris yesterday, and Josh Harris, Mitch Rales, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, they all walked into kind of this – opening ceremony, maybe too much of a description, but Roger Goodell has this like kind of kickoff meeting where they talk about last year and they look ahead to this year and kind of what decisions need to be made over the next 48 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. And last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, literally just seeing Dan walk into that room would have been news and a story.
Holy.
And instead, it's Harris, Rails, walking in, and they're just one of 32 NFL owners, or 31 NFL owners. They're just some dudes going to the meeting. And
that's it.
I think Commanders fans should really, like, take a moment to be excited about how different that is.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when you go places, you get so tired of people asking you about all the awful things about a team. And that has gone away, and I just hope that it keeps going in that direction to where now we could discuss football instead of the crazy things that happens around football.
Dude, all now, you know how this is, B, like when we're at these events. You know, I know people from pretty much every other team, like whether it's coaches or staffers or other reporters from other markets, like this is our world, and we get to know all these mm-hmm. people, right? And the only question I'm getting now is, what do you think they do at number two?
Yeah.
And it is so terrifically refreshing to not have to chase around dumb stories. What we're chasing is football.
Yeah.
Football stories, a team that's trying to win. I mean, there's some stadium stuff. You know, what's up with D.C.? What's up with Virginia? What's up with Maryland? Are you going to get a new name for the stadium? Like, there's some stuff, but that is all normal scope of operations.
Yeah.
Here's to normalcy, B. Here's to normalcy. Here's what we're going to do next. When we come back, Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders. The Raiders have a really good defense. The Raiders spent a ton of money to sign Christian Wilkins. The Raiders defensively believe they can compete for a Super Bowl trophy. However, the Raiders have the 13th pick. And by all accounts, these top four quarterbacks, because it sounds like there's a top four now, not just a top three. These top four quarterbacks ain't making it to 13. Could the Raiders seriously make a move on a quarterback? You'll hear from Antonio Pierce when we return. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I am live down in Orlando, Florida, the land of the mouse. The whole NFL is here. Drew Rosenhaus just walked through the hallway I'm in with his wife and family. I think a lot of these guys will probably take their families to Disney or Universal or whatever.
It is spring break time.
It is spring break time, which makes the flights very expensive down here. B-Mitch, I had a god-awful flight yesterday out of Dulles.
Was it late?
It was all. It was everything that could happen, happened.
Huh?
It was 90-minute delay.
Mm.
Then I was in the middle seat in the second to last row.
Mm.
And really, really rough turbulence.
It was rough for me going down on Saturday or Friday as well.
And I'll tell you the other part privately, but the people I was sitting with were weird. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, thank God it was a short flight. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it. All right, back to business, though. By far the most interesting kind of developing story for the NFL, and we're a month out from the draft. I mean, you've got Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh, and what, if anything, does that make the Steelers? Because they've got a really good defense. You know, are they a Super Bowl contender now with Russ, or does Russ still have it? There are certainly interesting questions from around the league. Can the Chiefs three-peat? Like, there's interesting stuff, but the top of the draft, because it's so quarterback heavy and you've got big name, big time prospects. You've got Caleb Williams, who won the Heisman 2 years ago. You got Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman this past season.
Mm-hmm.
JJ McCarthy, who just won a national championship. Drake May, who a lot of people think really highly of and was, you know, has been considered a top quarterback prospect for basically his whole college career. Then even further down the line, like, Bo Nix has played a ton of college football. Michael Penix was in the national title game. Like, there's so much interest in all of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is driving all of the stories right now. And Antonio Pierce and the Raiders are kind of right in the middle of this thing. The Raiders right now pick 13th, but they are not being shy about the possibility of trading up and who they might want. Here is Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce.
I think everything's on the table. Whatever makes the Raiders better, I'm all for. And when I say I'm a go-getter, meaning whatever it takes to win, whatever it takes to get the best player to make our team the best, that's what I want to do, and that's what I like to see us do. Tom Telesco's, you know, has a lot more experience in the drafts than myself. I'm going to lean on him and his expertise on what we should do. And if it's the right fit and that guy there that we want is a Raider and he fits the Raider culture in our way, then we'll go get him. Yeah, it was good going at the combine, these pro days, getting around these prospects. They're all ultra competitive, and that's what I like about them. You know, they all, you look at them, there's a few quarterbacks that got over 50-plus starts. There's some guys that, you know, three and done and one and done, you know, for that matter. But what you're looking for is a leader. You know, you're looking for somebody that wants to come in, like I was asked earlier, you know, to come in that room and be competitive, give us that edge. And, again, if it's a rookie, if it's Aiden, if it's Minshew, if it's Brown, you know, we're going to put the best player out there that gives us a chance to win.
You see, when you were with him, this type of a rise or potential out of him?
Yeah, I thought he would be a Heisman winner. I did. That was my recruiting pitch to him. I just thought it would be where I was at previously.
Do you think his game could translate to the NFL?
If you win a Heisman, most likely, yes. You know, when you're looking at Jaden and all these quarterbacks, you know, extremely talented. One thing about him that I think separates the rest is his ability to run. He can run. You know, when you can run like that in the SEC and put up those kind of numbers, I think that translates very well.
You think he can bulk up for the pros, or does he need to?
I think he's just that, you know, nature take its course. You know, I mean, obviously he's been doing it as a slim athlete throughout his whole career. So I think just with, you know, being the nature of a man, you'll get bigger as you go along. So he'll be fine.
Developing rookie quarterbacks is always a challenge. How do you see that helping a guy to evolve into a league? Is rushing him, is playing him quickly, rushing him? Is you need to get the mistakes out of the way? How do you kind of view?
Yeah, I think it all depends on the quarterback we get and who that guy is. I mean, do you want to throw him to the fire? No. I don't think that's been the best way. I play with a guy like Eli Manning. First pick overall, didn't play until like week 8 or 9, his rookie season. Didn't become a starter until year 2. So, 1,000 ways to skin a cat. We'll do what's best for the player and ourselves going forward. And we'll really just let it play out. I can't really answer that question now. To be
all right. That's just a snippet of Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce doing his media availability today. So everybody understands the coaches talk for a half hour. They sit down at these tables, and reporters can bounce around from coach to coach. Tomorrow morning, today was the AFC, tomorrow's the NFC. So tomorrow I will sit down at Dan Quinn's table and be there the whole time, whereas today I kind of get to run around and cherry-pick some questions for people I think are important and relevant. Mm-hmm. Brian, listening to Antonio Pierce, now we know that he was on the Arizona State staff that recruited Jaden Daniels. He thought he was a Heisman Trophy winner then as a young man coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, you know, like he said, that was his pitch. And he had a chance to talk to the young man, and he saw things that a lot of us don't see. I for me, to be totally honest with you, Jay, the thing about Jaden's size to me is, like, I don't know – if it's
you've been kind of out on that as a factor.
I'm way out on it because, to be honest with you, when you start really talking to scouts about that, that'll be the last thing they mention. But I think we have picked it up in the media, and that's what we present a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a talking point. And it is probably something that has been started by someone who wants him to slip because of it. But I think people are smart enough, like just like Antonio said, let nature take its course. When you were a certain age, you couldn't gain weight. Now you can't not gain it. You know what I mean? Your body will take over and you'll get a little stronger. But the fact that he played in the SEC and was able to be there that many games tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I told you what Scott told me last week, that at the LSU Pro Day, by far the most important is that he weighs in at 210 or higher. And frankly, if the scouts know that, leads me to believe he probably knows it, and mm-hmm. his team of representatives know it, and he'll come in at 213, and then we all shut up about this. Like, remember for Kyler Murray how big of a deal it was that he comes in at 5'9 or 5'10 or whatever it was, and then sure enough, he landed there, and that storyline went away.
But the funny thing about that, though,
on the Daniels thing becoming less and less relevant.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is, and I mentioned this to you last week, no one ever talked about Bryce Young's size. And the dude looks...
He did avoid that somehow.
Yeah, but he is 5'10 something and weighs about 180 pounds. Nobody discussed that, but now you're going to discuss a guy who has the height, maybe a little slim, but let's talk about the fact that he was in those games all the time. And I think that it becomes a thing that kind of... It's a part of media that irritates me, where I think the media discusses it more than the actual scouts do.
Sure.
Yeah.
To that point, did it seem – and Antonio Pierce was very clear in saying, you know, any sort of draft, trade, decision-making stuff, that's going to run through Tom Telesco, the general manager. Like, he didn't want to be putting anything out there that, like, he was going to make a move or something, right?
Yeah.
But – in hearing him talk about we're going to do whatever it takes to find guys that fit into the Raider culture and make us a better team, and then the way he talked about Jaden, it sure seemed like he would love to have Jaden Daniels on his team.
I mean,
he
had experience with him, and I can believe that he would like to have him. But I also know he understands he's been in the league long enough to understand that that would be costly. And he's talking about building a Raiders culture. If you have to give up as much as it might take, you might not be able to build that culture how you want to build it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
So I think he understands that aspect as well.
I just wonder, what I wonder in Vegas is an owner that just shelled out a lot of money for Christian Wilkins, and he's paying Max Crosby a lot of money, and they're making a lot of money in Vegas. But here's the thing about Vegas is there's other shows to go to. You can go see Beyonce or Travis Tritt or whatever. They got a lot. You got to keep the eyeballs on you in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if an owner wants a quarterback, gets awfully interesting. And I think B, one thing I can tell you from talking to people this morning, the rise of J.J. McCarthy is real. Mm-hmm. That sounds very, very real. And certainly, you know, QB at 3 or 4 seems doable. I'm curious if QB at 2 is doable. Power players are here now. Mike Garofolo's walking by.
Uh-oh.
It's a big day at the league meetings.
Big news about to break down, Jay.
Big news right now. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. Not only do you get to enjoy this song by Seal, you also will win 2 tickets to Nats opening day. Monday, April 1st against the Pirates. First 20,000 fans will receive a reversible bucket hat. Not just a bucket hat, but a reversible bucket hat, B.
All right.
Pre-game festivities include an appearance by the world-famous Budweiser Clydesdales, red carpet player introductions, live music, face painters, balloon twisters, and more. All the gates open at 2 o'clock. Caller 10 right now, Nats home opener. I think we can call it opening day. I recognize their opening day is on the road, but their home opening day is going to be Monday, April 1st against the Pirates. They got bucket hats, the Clydesdales. I love seeing those Clydesdales, man. They're just
humongous.
Such impressive animals, man.
Yes, they are.
All right, so Nats tickets now, caller number 10. Coming up at 11:45, if you miss out on the Nats tickets, 11:45, we're going to have 4 tickets available for the Wiz against the Blazers Friday, April 5th. And that's the night where 2 Chainz is having the concert after. Mm. So we're giving away serious tickets today, B.
Hey, a lot of people are going to be happy.
If you had to pick between Nats opening day or Wiz Blazers with 2 Chainz, what would you pick?
I'm going to Nats opening day.
Opening day is just such a good vibe.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, with this upcoming Nats season, you might want to get there early before maybe things get away from you.
There you go.
Although, dude, at least with all these young guys they might have, like, you know, July might be dope once they start calling guys up. All right, we're about to be joined by Chris Nockey, Maryland radio analyst, really, really sharp college basketball mind. So I figured we should run through our Final Four picks, see who's doing what. Landfill, you're probably juggling the phones. I did think we should discuss that Jeff's not here, and he let us know at like 9:45. Is that accurate?
Well, he claimed he let Drab know yesterday, but, you know, normally when he says, well, I let so-and-so know, it probably means that he called them, he sent them a text.
Yeah, I wonder if we could get Drab on a lie detector machine and find out exactly when Jeff let Drab know.
Yeah.
Did you get somebody, is there somebody else in there?
Yeah, Landfill.
But there's not, all right, so Landini's running
nobody
the show solo.
Nobody else is in there, no. Nobody else is in there.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, let's start with Jeff's picks because they're god-awful. Jeff picked UConn, who looks like a freight train.
Yes.
Carolina, who has looked quite good. Then he took Kentucky and Colorado State. I think we covered that. He picked 2 teams that both lost in the first round in his Final Four. And his eventual champion was Kentucky.
Okay.
Jeff's terrible, right?
That one is gone already. Most of this thing is gone.
Landfill looking kind of good.
Always looking good, baby.
That's right.
He's lucky.
I didn't know if you were back, Landini. I knew you had to deal with all the phones. Landfill's got UConn, Arizona, Creighton and Houston.
Hey, Creighton. Creighton's good, bro. Hell, the Big East is good. Let's just say that.
Big East is good.
They got three teams that are making noise, though.
Yeah. yeah, dude. So, Creighton, if you get Creighton, that could be something. That Creighton-Tennessee game. Now, there haven't been that many upsets. Like, there's not. I think NC State is the only high seed to get into the Sweet 16, right?
Yep, 11.
They're at 11.
Single digits.
Dude, not just single digits, but, like, I think.
You have a nine. Well, what was that? I think I saw a nine earlier.
Clemson's a six.
Yeah, six.
Clemson. So Clemson, Arizona is 6-2. Carolina, Bama's 1-4. I mean, that's straight chalk. Iowa State, Illinois.
That's a pick 'em, basically.
Well, that's straight chalk, too. I mean, that's 2-3.
2-3. San Diego State, UConn, 1-5.
Yeah. Houston, Duke, straight chalk. NC State, Marquette is the only one that it really, you know, NC State there. Marquette not covering the 4.5 yesterday really got me on a bad start to my day, bro.
Yeah, NC State, though, big man.
I love that guy.
Dog, you give him the ball down low. I don't know many people going to stop him from getting to where he wants to go.
Right. All right, so Landini has UConn, Arizona, Creighton, and Houston, and his eventual champion is UConn. Landini, how you feeling, buddy?
I mean, I feel incredible. I, as you know, am a huge college basketball fan. I put a lot of research into those picks.
Like college basketball last week. Now you're a damn fan.
It's good to see it pay off.
He's got all Final Four still alive. Now, yeah, Brian and I have both lost one team. B has Houston, Creighton, UConn, and the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Hey, that's my friendship with Fred. I got a question to my friendship, man. My friendship made me do that.
So B has UConn.
If you remember, Beamich originally picked Arizona there, but then we pointed out that he just copied my pick, so he switched it up to Mississippi State.
Yeah, y'all peer pressure.
I forgot
me.
About that.
Y'all peer pressure.
We bullied him.
Yeah,
I can't believe Beamich got bullied on his own program.
Yeah, man. You know, so I try to make sure people understand I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. All right. Now you two both
you just
have
dismissed
UConn.
That, didn't you?
You are a nice guy, but whenever I point it out, you get mad.
Now
at
you
me.
Can't tell people that.
All right. Here's where things could get interesting. I lost Baylor. Right. Clemson upset Baylor. Mm-hmm. So I had UConn, Baylor, Purdue, and Houston.
Maybe if you took a team that was around before RG3 went there, then you would have probably been okay.
RG3's been talking. You see his latest? We'll have to play that a little later.
With him.
Please, God, no.
But how I could still win this thing is if Purdue wins, because you two both have UConn and I have Purdue. It's awfully hard to pick against UConn at this point because they just look like a absolute freight train, but Purdue's look good too. I mean, Purdue beat Grambling by 28, and they beat the tar out of Utah State last night, 106-67. And mm-hmm. That Utah State team's all right, man. I feel all right. I feel as good about Purdue as anyone can allow themselves
you're
to feel about
until they lose, then you're going to tell us what you really feel about them.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, it's a team that the Pitbull community will be offended. Please save your outrage. Like, if you walk in a house and there's a Pitbull and the people are like, yo, it's a sweet dog, don't worry about it. Like, you're still kind of nervous because it's a damn Pitbull. I have the opposite feeling with Purdue. Like, they are a Chihuahua. And I know they are a Chihuahua, and the eventual collapse is coming, but I feel as comfortable as I can be with a collapsible Chihuahua Purdue team as my champion pick.
Gotcha.
You guys with UConn must just be sitting pretty.
Man, just feeling kind of good. Feeling happy.
All right, Chris Knocke joins us next to break down a wild weekend of basketball that still kind of left us with not that many upsets. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.